takes the Word of God literally and believes God when His Word says that a woman's place in the church is submission to the leadership of man. That's God's Word. That's the conservative, Bible-believing, fundamental position on a woman's place in the church. Now, this position forbids women from being a pastor. A while back, one of our ladies smiled and said, "Preacher, guess what I run into the other day?" And I said, "What?" I saw the mischievous look in her eyes. And she said, "I saw a pregnant pastor." Now, wouldn't that be wonderful to have a pregnant pastor up here preaching to you tonight? See, God knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Man makes a mess out of things when he tries to go against the Word of God. And there's a lady pastor of a church, I won't tell you which denomination it is, but John Wesley founded it. And she was pastor not far from here, and a pregnant pastor. She had a child. I hope she did later on. She's in bad shape, she did. But anyway, the fundamental Bible-believing position forbids women from being a pastor or deacon or teaching men, usurping authority over men. Now, the liberal, moderate wing of Christianity does not accept this strict, literal interpretation of God's Word. They say that the customs of the first century cannot be imposed on the 20th century. And they quote Galatians 3:28, where Paul said, "There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ." Now, those don't contradict each other. Galatians 3:28 does not contradict this here. We're all one in Christ. You get Saul, get saved. You get in Christ the same way, male and female. But when we're in Christ, then God has an order and some teaching about our rank and a role we should play when we get in Christ and in His church. Now, if a person believes God's Word and takes it literally, the role that women and men have in a local New Testament church is very clear. It's very clear if you just take God at His Word. More the women's libbers and liberal preachers, they jump up and down and get a good case of ulcers when they come to 1 Timothy 2:9-15 here. But it is one of the most direct, clear passages in the Bible on a woman's role in the church. And tonight I'll just get through verses 9 through 12 where Paul states his position, a threefold position on women's role in the church. And then next Sunday night, which would be appropriate for Mother's Day, that we finish this chapter, verses 13, 14, and 15, the Lord willing. But I've got a lot of territory to cover tonight in just from verse 9 through verse 12. But Paul states his position on three things in verses 9 through 12. First of all, in verses 9 and 10 on women's clothing. Now these verses, let's read them again. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Now those verses primarily are concerned how a woman ought to dress when she comes to God's house and when she prays. But these standards should govern how a woman dresses in and out of the church, the principle there. And Paul gives some positive instructions on how a woman should adorn or dress themselves. First of all is modest apparel. Now, modest just simply means modest, doesn't it? It means decently and in order. A woman ought to dress decently and modestly. A Christian lady or a girl, I'm talking about a born-again Christian, ought to, but not even a person who is not saved ought to dress decently. But especially, it's incumbent upon a saved lady and a saved girl to dress modestly because of God's Word. It teaches it. And a Christian lady or girl should not dress gaudy or should not dress in a suggestive manner. Shorts that expose the thigh and plunging necklines that expose a woman's upper anatomy. Split skirts or slit skirts all up the above, way above the knee, and tight pants, bikinis, and miniskirts, and other provocative clothing are a poor testimony on a woman, and they dishonor the Lord and should be avoided by born-again Christians. Now, ladies, this is serious. I'm not up here just preaching. I want to help you to be a modest a lady, with a godly lady, dressing godly with a good testimony. I'm just not preaching against things. I'm preaching positive. I want to help you to be the godly lady the Lord wants you to be. And you say, preacher, why are you so hard on clothes that expose a woman's body or emphasize their anatomy? Now, if you don't know the answer to that question, folks, why a preacher would preach that a woman should not unduly expose her body or emphasize her anatomy, hey, you better get somebody to go with you when you go out of the home. If you don't know the answer to that, if you have as much sense as God gave a goose, you know that God made man. Now listen to me. Young ladies, listen to me too. You understand the philosophy of Christian dress. If you don't know this, I think you probably do. That God made man with his passions so that his passions are aroused by a woman dressing in such a way. If he's normal, a man or a boy is aroused, God made him that way, by a woman dressing in such a way that her body, her anatomy, is overemphasized. And by the Christian ladies, if you're normal and intelligent, you know that. And I believe a godly lady wants to dress in such a way that she'll not be a stumbling block to her brother in Christ. That ought to be your desire. And dress modestly. So Paul said, first of all, women, dress modestly. And then the word with shamefacedness. That means that they are to dress, they are ashamed to dress immodestly. So if you dress shamefacedly, you dress modestly. You are dressing modestly because you are ashamed to dress immodestly. That's the meaning of that word. You know, most women and girls don't know how to blush anymore. Most men don't know that, and boys don't know how to blush anymore. They can expose their nakedness to the view of man and not bother them one bit. No shame. Not able to blush. I've told you before, and I'm not proud of it, not bragging on it, but when I went off to college to play football in junior college down in Mississippi before I went down southern Mississippi, one time during preseason is in the latter part of August. I mean, it was hot as a blazes in South Mississippi in last of August. And after practice and supper one night, about 15 or 20 of us boys on the football team went up to Laurel, Mississippi. They're having a fair. And there was a girly show under a tent. And all of us boys, and I'm not ashamed, I'm ashamed of it. I shouldn't have done it. But I did it. I'll tell you why. But out of a given signal, we all crawled on the tent and spread out in where they were having the girly show. But I'll tell you what I saw there that night in that girly show is no worse than what I see on the roads, the streets, and the malls around Gray Station and John City and Kingsport. They didn't expose any more there than ladies are exposing today on the streets in Northeast Tennessee. And so, ladies and girls, if you want to glorify Christ this summer, for God's sake, put some clothes on this summer and dress like a Christian. There's nothing wrong with a lady who's born again that can stand and say, I know my name's written in heaven. But there's nothing wrong with her dressing modestly, is there? In fact, she ought to if she's going to please the Lord. I'm talking about pleasing the Lord tonight. Then let's move on. I've persecuted you enough on those first two words. Modest apparel and shamefacedness. Let's flee now to the next word, sobriety. Sobriety. That means just dress with good sense and self-control. Here, he's not talking about a lady or a Christian drinking. alcoholic beverages. Certainly no born-again lady ought to drink beer, liquor, or wine. Certainly you shouldn't. But he's not talking about drunkenness here. He's talking about sobriety means the inner quality that tells a person what is good and right. Dress with sobriety. That inner quality that just tells you what is good and right. Now then Paul moves to some negative instructions for Christian ladies. He says, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now some have used these words to teach that a lady should not go to a beauty shop, should not have a nice hairdo that is becoming to them. Some use these verses to teach that a woman ought not wear jewelry or nice clothes. But now, that is not what Paul is teaching here. Excess is the key to understanding these instructions. Now in Paul's day, I am told that ladies would wear the weirdest hairdos. We're having a reenactment Paul's day today. Some of these weird hairdos going around. But I'm told that they would fix their hair up and they'd put statues in it, statues and images and animals, carved images in their hair. And they would put jewelry all in their hair. And they would put on expensive robes. And from head to foot, they'd cover their body with all kinds of expensive jewelry. Now, boy, I bet you they were some sight to behold. Now, Paul was talking about the excess. He's saying a godly lady should not dress in a gaudy manner and draw attention to themselves with ungodly, gaudy excesses like that. You know, I used to be suspicious of a Christian lady who dressed nice and neat and fixed her hair. I used to thought surely they were apostate. They'd do that. And if they were spiritual, they'd look like that. They were about 40 years behind time, and they looked like they newly eaten Sawbriars or something like that. And I'm telling you, fashions of 40 years ago. And I used to think that was a sign of spirituality. But that is not so. My thinking was wrong. A Christian lady should dress neat and clean and attractive. I'm convinced that. It's not a good testimony for a lady to look terrible or to dress queerly or old-fashioned and have a disheveled look. I'm not saying you ought to wear expensive clothes. Certainly not. I'm not saying that now. When I was a boy, we didn't have any money. My mother couldn't dress fancy. My mother couldn't dress in expensive clothes. But my mother was neat and clean. And every lady can dress neat and clean and be a good testimony for Jesus by just keeping herself clean and neat. That's what I'm talking. I'm not saying expensive clothes. Now, in verse 10, Paul brings women's dress to a proper focus. He said, but not with those expensive items and excessive items and to dress with modestly and sobriety and shamefacedly. He said, but they should dress which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So true beauty for a godly lady is not just nice clothes. That's not true beauty. That's external. That's superficial beauty. And not just makeup on just right or expensive jewelry. All of that worn properly with propriety, nothing wrong with it, as long as it's not excessively done. But it's still artificial beauty. True beauty is that inward quality of godliness that expresses itself in good works. That's the most beautiful. The most beautiful lady in the world is a lady who emanates true character from her being. And listen, ladies and girls, you can be a beautiful person if you'll live for Jesus and try to have a Christ-like life. And out of your out of your being will emanate beauty, real beauty, beauty of soul. And I'll tell you, I know you say, I know beauty is skin deep, but I'd like a little of that skin deep beauty. But listen, if that's all there is, just a little skin deep beauty, it'll fade away. And brother, skin deep beauty won't help you too much in marriage after you married a few years, I'll guarantee you that. But if you have beauty of character, you are a beautiful person. You're a beautiful person. So, ladies and girls, you can be a beautiful person. Just live right. Be a graceful person. Be a lady with character and high standards. And be interested in other people. Be kind to other people. Be modest. Keep your distance around boys. Walk circumspectly around boys and men. And you can be a beautiful person. Well, I'm glad that my mother, my mother's still alive. She's 83 or 84. I believe she'd be 84 this month. But I'm glad that I had a mother when I was growing up that wasn't a cigarette-sucking, she wasn't a card-playing, show-going, beer-drinking, dancing mother. I'm glad that I had that kind of mother. She was a modest, humble lady who knew the Lord and knew how to pray. I'm glad that I had that kind. And I'm glad the Lord not only gave me a good mother, but He gave me a good wife. I'm glad He gave me a godly, modest wife. And she has, my wife has backed me and has been a good mother to me and been a good example to our children. I thank God for a wife. Now, I wish you'd give up those cigarettes and that snuff, though. You pray for her here. No, just kidding. I thank God. I guess I blew that one, didn't I? But no, the Lord has doubly blessed me with a godly mother and a godly wife. Now let's move into verse 11, where we see Paul now moving from women's clothing into women learning in the church. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. You know, I thank God for all of the fine, godly ladies He's given us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now listen, we have some fine men at this church, and we promote male leadership in the church, but we couldn't make it without the godly ladies in our church. We couldn't make it. Just couldn't make it. And brother, we'd be hurting without the good, godly ladies. Many, many good ladies the Lord has given us at our church. But now, there's not one word in the Bible that even suggests that there's any scriptural grounds for a woman to be a leader in a local New Testament church. Not one verse of scripture in the Bible that suggests. In the sovereign wisdom of God, He made the woman the weaker sex. And He put the inbred tendency in the soul of Eve to be a follower. So God made it a natural thing for a woman to be a follower and man to be a leader. And you know, I'm glad God made woman that way. I'm glad God made woman exactly like He made her. He made them, and they add beauty to this old world and tenderness and sweetness and warmth. Listen, ladies, for you to be like a man is a step down as far as I'm concerned. God put a woman upon a pedestal. And for her to become manly. I mean, if a man's a man, he don't want to be married to another man. I mean, it's perversion. And I'm glad God made woman just like she is. Ladies, you're taking a step down to listen to these women livers and to try to make a man out of yourself. Be all that God wants you to be as a woman. And that's a beautiful thing. Paul here now in verse 11 says that in the church, a woman should not try to run things and run the pastor, but she should learn in silence. A woman in Florida called me long distance a few years ago, And they had an ex-pastor of this church who was pastoring in Florida. And she was after his hide. She was trying to get him run off. And she was asking me some very serious and damaging questions about this man. And what she was asking me, she had the goods on that bird. But she won't get anything out of me. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm not going to answer your questions. If your deacon chairman wants to call me, I'll talk with him. Or if one of the deacons wants to call, I'll talk with him. But I'm not going to talk to a woman trying to cut her pastor's throat. And I said, you're out of order. And for some strange reason, she hung up on me. I can't understand why she'd do a nice guy like me that way. But a woman should learn in church in silence and not with a bitter, rebellious spirit, but in subjection according to the Apostle Paul. Now, let's look at the word, what subjection or submit really means. I'm told in the Greek, this word literally means to rank under. The meaning of that is rank. Now, you who are in the armed services, you understand that rank has to do with order and authority. A captain is higher in rank than, say, a sergeant. But does that mean that a captain is a better man than the sergeant? No. It just means in rank, he's above the sergeant. But that sergeant could be a far better man than the captain. And so it is in the church. When a woman submits to male leadership in the church and says, I believe it's God's plan for man to lead the church, it doesn't mean she's inferior. It just means that that's God's order and that's God's plan, see? That's God's plan. Many times in the church, there are ladies who are more capable than men. But when they try to lead and usurp authority, see, they're out of order. That's the divine rank or divine order that men are to lead in the home and in the church. Now, that's God's plan. God made it. I didn't. That's God's plan. Then let's look at verse 12 where we see now women leading. Emphasis here on women leading. This is the third instruction that Paul gives for women here in the church in verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, verse 9, it says that godly women ought to dress modestly. Verse 11, women are to learn in the church to learn in silence. And then verse 12 says women are not to lord it over men, nor even teach men, but to be silent in the church. Notice the word silence is used in verse twice, in verse 11 and in verse 12. But that doesn't mean that a woman can't ever get a peep out of a woman in church. No, that doesn't mean that. I believe some of the ladies got up and testified. I think they were in order. I think certainly they're in order to stand up and say what the Lord's done for me. Nothing wrong with that. That's not taking authority over a man, see. Why, we men want to hear a godly lady stand up and say, I'm glad my name's written in heaven. Don't you want that? That's not going to feel like any of these ladies were taking authority over me or anybody in this church. And for a lady to sing or to teach children and ladies, and go out and we have a ladies soul winning. There's many. I think a lady could, in a Sunday school class, can ask a question. That's not taking authority over man. She could ask questions in a business meeting, as long as it's done discreetly and not trying to down the pastor and take subjection over the pastor or the church. I think that a lady, say on Wednesday night, a lot of times I'll say, anyone have any questions after I teach? And if a lady has a question, I don't think it'd be out of order. So I don't think he meant that a lady is not to say one word in church. I don't believe it means that. Certainly doesn't mean it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. I want to show you another place where Paul says for a woman to keep silent in church. I want us to look at the context there. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 34 and 35. Now this chapter is talking about speaking in tongues in the local church, the unknown tongue. And in this is to keep in mind, this is in the context of Paul's teaching about tongues. He's saying in verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, these verses here are in the context of women jumping up and jabbering in an unknown tongue. Paul said, let them keep silent in the church. And if every charismatic Pentecostal church in the world would obey God's word, it'd run most of the charismatics out of business. Because most of your tongue speaking in the tongues churches are done by women. I've been there. I've held revivals in Pentecostal churches back years ago. I wouldn't do it now. I know better now. But I've been to many Pentecostals, and most of the tongue speaking I've heard of is done by women. Most of the men are so backslid and cold and dead. They can't get a wouldn't holler suey if the hogs eating them up. Most churches. And the women jumping up. And they're out of order. They're out of order. The word of God says for them to get up and to jabber in an unknown tongue in the assembly. Paul said, let them keep silent. And as I said, that'll run most Pentecostal churches out of business. Now, 1 Timothy 2:11-12, along with 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, makes it unscriptural for a woman to be pastor of a church. And she must be silent, and she must not usurp authority over man. Now, folks, how can a woman pastor a church if she's to be silent and not to usurp authority over man? How can she do that? I don't know on God's green earth and under God's heaven how a woman can pastor if she had to be silent. First of all, she couldn't obey that first one anyway. Most men couldn't either. But then you have to lead and have a little authority if you're going to pastor. And Paul said they're not to usurp authority over man. And we'll find out, I started to say next Sunday night, but it'll be probably the next when we get into chapter 3, we find in chapter 3, verse 2, that a bishop or a pastor must be blameless and the husband of one wife. Pretty hard on a woman to be the husband of one wife. So you can see very well a woman is disqualified from the Word of God from being a pastor. Now you still may be wondering why Paul would insist on male leadership. Now ladies, I understand. I can understand if I'd be a lady and a preacher get up and preach like this tonight, I would have a little problem with it. I mean, the devil, see, will cause you to have a little problem with it. And then naturally, I would probably, if I was sitting where you are tonight as a lady, I would have a little problem with this, of the Bible, Paul, and then this preacher trying to tell you what God's Word says, insisting on male leadership in the home and the local church. But let me give you some a deep spiritual truth that I believe will help you to understand why God wants it this way and why Paul insists on it. Turn over to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And I believe this helps us understand why God has this order of male leadership in the home and in the church, and the ladies are to be in submission. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as a church is subject unto Christ. You see the beautiful symbolism? So let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Now get the beautiful symbolism, and you'll see why Paul insists on this and why this is God's will. This the Holy Spirit's inspired these verses. Now the man is the type of Christ in the home. And in the church too. And the woman is a type of the church. And so the woman is to follow her husband as the church follows Christ. And we ought to follow Christ in everything. And so a lady should follow her husband and everything. That is, unless he wants her to do something immoral or illegal or contrary to the Word of God, then she has a prior obligation. I'm not one of those who says that you ought to just follow your husband. If he wants you to be immoral, be immoral. If he wants you to sell your body in prostitution, go ahead. If he wants you to go out and dance with him, go wants you to go out and drink with him, go ahead. No, I don't believe God intends for that. I don't agree with that. I believe if a lady would say, now, honey, now I'm a Christian, and you know I shouldn't do that. I love you, and I want to be a good wife, but I can't do that because it's contrary to the Word of God. But I love you now. And I think that there are very few men that wouldn't accept that. And then, ladies, you've got to obey God rather than man. But the type, the woman, is a type of the church in subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. The man is a type of Christ, and the woman should be in subjection to the man as the church is to Christ. Now, isn't, to me, that's a beautiful picture. And look at verse 27. That he might present it, that one day the church, his bride, to himself, the bridegroom, the heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day that he might present the church, his earthly bride, and to himself, our heavenly bridegroom, one day yonder in the sky, might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So you can see why God establishes the order in the home and the church, because the man pictures Christ, the woman pictures the church, both of them beautiful pictures, and both of them have their own rank and own order. And one day, the church, the trumpet will sound, and the church will be called out, all those who are saved, and names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and will be called out yonder in the sky to meet our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready if the trumpet will sound tonight? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, ladies, I love you in the Lord. I want to help you, and I want to help you men too. We'll get to the men in these passages where we want to help the men. I want our church and our homes to be what God wants them to be. Now, I'm not anti-female. I had a wonderful mother and I have a wonderful mother and have a wonderful wife. I'm certainly pro-women. But what I want is for us to follow God's word in our homes and in our churches. And we need, and God will bless us if we will. Maybe tonight, what a beautiful picture the Word of God has for the church, the lady, a type of the church, and the man, the type of Christ. We remember back when you were wedded, when woman, when you walked down the aisle and met your bridegroom at the altar and you were wedded together. That's a picture of one day the church is going to be caught up and we're going to meet our bridegroom in the sky and be with him forever and forever. If you're saved, you're a member of the bride of Christ that's going to be caught out of here someday. And if you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. Are you saved and are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? If not, it'd be a wonderful time tonight to get to know Him. Is there somebody here tonight and say, preacher, if the Lord would come back tonight, I'm not sure that I would go out to meet Him. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not talking about are you a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church or a Methodist Church or a Presbyterian Church or a Catholic Church, but do you know Christ? Are you a member of the true church, the bride of Christ? Have you been saved? Is your name written in heaven? If not, this would be a wonderful time tonight to settle this. Let me pray for you. As I conclude in a word of prayer tonight, just slip your hand up. There is a spiritual need in your life tonight, and God's spoken to you through His Word. Let me pray for you. Just slip your hand right up. Is there someone? Just slip your hand right up, and I'll remember you in a closing word of prayer. There's a spiritual need in your life. God can meet that need through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the answer. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Someone else. I want to help you tonight. I've preached this because it's God's word. I want to help you. I'm going to help you spiritually. I'm going to help you spiritually. If you're not saved, or if you're a Christian and you've grown cold in your soul, you'll say, "Preacher, I want prayer tonight." Just slip your hand up. Anyone else, just slip your hand right up. I'd love to pray for you tonight. Anyone else, right quick. That's what we pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, everyone. Let's pray that God will help in this invitation. Father, we thank you now for the privilege of singing these good songs and hearing these good testimonies. And Lord, I've tried to preach your word the best I know how and be faithful to the word. And Lord, it's always best to go God's way in home, in the church, wherever we are in our lives. It's always best to go your way. We'll always come out best, Lord. We know that. And help us to do it. And Father, I pray for everyone here tonight. I pray for that Christian you'd encourage, he or she in the Lord tonight. And may, Lord, we all be what the Lord wants us to be. I pray for these here that may be out of the will of God. Christians wandering afar off. Or maybe somebody not saved. Lord, meet needs tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for this one and others who raised the hand. And the Lord, that others that should have raised the hand. And meet her need tonight. I pray, whatever it is. Have your way. Holy Spirit, draw men to this altar and to Jesus. We'll thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing with you. 310, let's stand and sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And if tonight you need to come to this altar, you need to come for prayer, you need to do business with the Lord, rededicate your life or get saved, join the church, whatever it is, come on right now. I'll meet you right here and we'll pray with you and help you. Come on as we sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." Meet me right here. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give.
Won't you come? You slip out.
I will ever love and trust him,
ever regret.
In his presence daily I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just play through softly again. If there's a need in your life, there's a burden in your heart right now that you need to pray about, just step on down to the altar. Church member, visiting friend of yours, or if you need to get saved or get right with the Lord, just come on. Just step right on out. Step right on out. Whatever the need is, Christ can meet your need. Others of you, if you need to come, if there's a need in your life, try the Lord. You've tried everything else, try the Lord. Try the Lord. Try Jesus. Everything's going to fail you. Try the Lord. Come on. Come on. Through again. Come on. Let the Lord have his way in your life. You'll never go wrong by letting Jesus have his way in your life. The Lord's speaking to you. Come on, come to Christ. Come pray about a need you might have. Brother Gary, let's sing the next verse. Look at the page again. What's the next verse?
Second verse.
Second verse. Okay, let's sing the second verse. And you, come on. We'll wait just a few moments now, and then we'll be through. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Appreciate your presence tonight. Amen. A good day. It's a good crowd tonight. Have wonderful books. Preach and learn from, don't we? Wonderful Savior and wonderful book. Out there's the answer. Just stay in the book. Live with the book. And it'll let you know what you need.